From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Record numbers of people are voting early, and which candidates are benefiting the most? Plus, a federal jury found Senator Ted Stevens guilty on 7 corruption counts. Now he's got to face the voters on Tuesday. Will his case hurt other Republicans? Here for the latest on politics, we've got Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. She's an author and nationally syndicated columnist, and Ron Christie, CEO of Christie Strategies. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
So we are in the home stretch. Can you believe it?
Oh, thank God.
I know. I am with you. Anyway, let's quickly talk about Ted Stevens, Alaska senator found guilty on Monday, 7 counts of corruption charges. He was accused of trying to hide more than $250,000 in gifts and services tied to a home renovation. So, Ron, he's up for re-election next week, and he says he's going to keep campaigning for his seat. John McCain and other GOP officials say step down. So should he take one for the team and step aside?
Of course he should. I mean, this is a case that baffles me. You're given the highest honor and trust and privilege to represent your constituents, be it from the state of Alaska or my beloved home state of California. If, in fact, you have been tried before a jury of your peers and a very serious case like, such as this, where there were 7 specific counts alleging misconduct, and he was found guilty in all counts that were alleged against him, for the good of the people of the state of Alaska, he needs to go. He needs to go for his state, he needs to go for his party, and he needs to go for the good of the country. I think it's a stain over him, a stain over his legacy. In fact, it's just a travesty to me that he hasn't stepped down.
Donna, do you think, first of all, just quickly, do you think there's a chance he will just get reelected based on whether or not people like him or they just feel aggravated by the case or whatever reasons they have? But secondly, could it hurt the Republican Party?
Well, on the first question, there's no doubt that when you think of the state of Alaska, 50 years old this year, Ted Stevens has been the only senator that they have known throughout their entire state history. So he is well liked by you know, individuals in that state. But I believe that the Republicans, like Democrats, are going to vote for a change, and Mayor Mark Begich of Anchorage might have an edge. You know, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has also called for Ted Stevens to resign. John McCain has called for him to resign. There are a number of vulnerable Republican lawmakers this election cycle that's also joining the chorus, including Norm Coleman of Minnesota and Gordon Smith of Oregon. And lastly, I think this is the one that really should cause some news in Alaska, is that Governor Sarah Palin has also called on Ted Stevens to resign. So this is clearly not a good moment for the Republicans. He joins a gallery of disgraced leaders, Bob Ney, Tom DeLay, Randy Duconyham. Of course, there are other lawmakers right now in hot water on both sides of the aisle. But
William
Ted
Jefferson.
Stevens should. Mr. Maloney down in Florida. So, you know, when it comes to disgracing the United States Congress, we can all go through a laundry list, but this is a very special thing. Ted Stevens is now a convicted felon, and who knows if he can even cast a vote for himself in Alaska.
All right, Ron, I want to move on to a topic on a lot of people's minds, which is early voting. CNN reports that more than 1 million ballots have already been cast in Georgia alone. The Obama campaign has encouraged voters to cast their ballots early, but we don't hear that message coming as much from the McCain campaign. Why is that?
Well, I think the McCain campaign right now is trying to devote all their tactical attention to getting out the vote, to making sure that all the precincts, all the neighborhoods, all the areas that are Republican strongholds, that they can utilize those resources and encourage their supporters to get out and vote. I would caution the listeners, however. I mean, I remember back in 2004, and we looked at the numbers in North Carolina, and we had heard that there were 50% more ballots that had been asked for early voting in North Carolina. And of those numbers, of course, the Democrats had been trouncing the Republicans. And then the Republicans went on to trounce the Democrats in the state of North Carolina for the federal election. So while I think the Democrats have been very, very good at their get-out-the-vote efforts and to encourage people to vote early, I don't think it's a barometer or an indication that they're necessarily necessarily going to run away with the electorate in that particular state, regardless of what the numbers for ballots, Republican or Democrats, might be for early voting.
Donna, there's also the issue of race. The Associated Press says that in Louisiana, which is your state, more than 31% of early voters are black. In Florida, nearly 55% of early voters are registered Democrats. So race and party affiliation playing into things there. What's the incentive for people to vote early? And do you think it's a good idea?
Yes. 4 years ago, only about 10 states allow people to vote early to avoid the congestion, the gridlock on election day. Now, of course, it's a easy, convenient way for people to vote on weekends, to vote after work, so that they're not caught up in long lines on election day. I'm very optimistic about the numbers. Let me just say, Ron is absolutely right. Democrats might lead in terms of early voting, those people who are standing in line, but Republicans have historically a better machine when it comes to identifying people who turn in absentee ballots. So at this point in the game, 12 million voters may have already cast their ballots across the country in states like Colorado, Nevada. Of course, we've heard Louisiana, Georgia, Florida, where Governor Chris, to his credit, and I want to say thank you, Governor Chris, has signed an emergency order to allow voting to take place up to 12 hours a day, including on weekends, to accommodate all of the excitement going on in that great state. So this is a good sign that our democracy is healthy, that members of every community will have access to the ballot. And we all know that on election day, we have to be very careful to read the ballot before we punch whatever candidate or whatever ballot proposition. Know your rights before you show up on election day.
Let's move on to the closing statements. Barack Obama has stuck to the consistent theme of change in these final days.
The change we need isn't just about new programs and policies. It's about a new attitude. It's about new politics. A politics that calls on our better angels instead of encouraging our worst instincts.
Now, the Republicans have been pressing a new theme, warning voters against a Democratic-controlled White House and Congress.
Now, this election comes down to how you want your hard-earned money spent. Do you want to keep it invested in your future or have it taken by the most liberal person to ever run for the presidency and the Democratic leaders, the most liberal, who have been running Congress for the past 2 years, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid? You know, my friends, this is a dangerous threesome.
The dangerous threesome. Now, Ron, it has occurred many times when one party controls both branches of the legislature plus the White House. People get angry at that. They start blaming that party. Do you think that this is a good theme, though, considering that the election hasn't occurred yet? Is this a good theme for Senator McCain to pursue?
Well, I think it's a good theme, but for goodness sakes, where has the McCain campaign been talking about this for the last several months? I would have hammered away on this much, much earlier in the year. Now it starts to look like it's a little too late. You know, they're looking for some traction, and I hope they do get that traction. Look, if you have one of the most democratically or liberal Democrats running for president, and you have someone who has said that they want to raise taxes, you have someone who has indicated that they don't understand what the middle class is, you know, is it 20,000, is it 250,000, is it 125,000, and you have people in the Congress without those checks and balances, I think that we're going to have an increase in taxes, and that's not good for many working Americans. I think what the electorate would like to see is a divided government to at least have the Republicans to have enough votes in the United States Senate where they would have the opportunity to stop some of these votes, stop some of these tax increases.
Donna, what are you hearing in the final days from these two candidates?
Well, I'm hearing Senator Obama make an appeal on what's in the best interest of our country, not so much a partisan appeal, but more of an American appeal, the things that we share in common as citizens of this great democracy, and to come together at a time of economic crisis and to reject the politics of the
bizarre
past, the politics of fear, the politics of smearing one opponent. And let me just say this as someone who has not just been a Capitol Hill staffer, but watch the Republicans who constantly attack so-called progressives or liberals as being big spenders. We've seen 8 years of Republican rule where we've seen the deficit grow by leaps and bounds to almost now $10 trillion. And where was this concern about one-party rule when the Republicans tried to privatize Social Security in 2005
right.
and to bring Terry Schiavo back from the living dead? So
okay,
I think
I'm gonna
this
jump
is, again,
in.
A very smear tactic, and Senator Obama has not said he will raise taxes on the middle class. Rather, he will cut taxes and try to bring us back to some fiscal sanity.
All right, Donna, and this is a speed round, guys. I know it's hard for you. Ron, do you think it's a smart idea for Barack Obama to air this 30-minute political infomercial? And does it arguably undercut his initial promise to stick to public financing? Ron?
We might have lost him. Maybe I should help.
Yes, please help me out, Donna.
First of all, this is a historic election. We know that regardless of who's elected next week, that this country will make history. And I think this is Senator Barack Obama's opportunity to lay out to the American people the kind of changes he envisioned as president and the kind of changes we should expect, a change from the business as usual, a change from the status quo. And I think this is a very important moment to listen to his comments and to see if his vision is compelling enough for voters to go out and support him on Tuesday, November 4th.
All right. Since we couldn't get Ron back in time, one final question for you. One more speed round. Oh, hey, Ron.
I'm back.
Hey, you're back.
Ron, I stepped in for you and said that you could not wait to see Senator Obama tonight, and then you're going to watch the Phillies and Tampa, the Tampa
Bay Rays.
All right.
We only have a couple seconds. Is it fair game or smart for Senator Obama to run this infomercial?
I think it could be a saturation point. You're starting to see a little Obama fatigue, Obama mania, all the magazines, all the television coverage. Candidly, I don't think he needs the 30-minute infomercial. I think
okay.
he has the exposure, and people know who he is and what he's running on.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We have been speaking with Ron Christie, CEO of Christie Strategies, also former special assistant to President George W. Bush, who joined us from NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., plus Democratic strategist Donna Brazile, author and nationally syndicated columnist.